be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Savior Jesus Christ. So, it reads in the Gospel for today, it begins and ends. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. And then it ends. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So, two interesting phrases describing Jesus, and in between there's this story. The story of Jesus in the temple. Interesting story. Brief, quick, but here's the point. It's the only story in Scripture of Jesus as a boy. All in Luke chapter, what is this? 2. The only story that we have, the only narrative of the boyhood. We just don't know anything else about Jesus other than what's in the story today. It's not to say other stories weren't fabricated. There were a couple centuries later after his birth. There were people who were really curious and came up with stories of Jesus, but the church never accepted those, always dismissed those as being kind of odd, and stayed with this story because Luke was authentic and that's what the church wanted. One story, for example, I bet you got your curiosity. One story, when Jesus was in Egypt, I'm told the story, the king of Egypt needed a new throne, and so he got a carpenter to build him a throne. I don't know if it was Joseph or not. The throne ended up being too small, and rather than having the carpenter punished for his miscalculation, Jesus came and pulled it into shape. Kind of odd. But we have this story about Jesus. So I want to focus on the story a little bit. You know, it really says everything that we need to know about Jesus. I bet you didn't see that, but it really does. And how the rest of Luke unfolds kind of shows that Jesus was God and man. You can see it in the story, certainly here. So what I'm going to say are these, I'm going to make 3 points and then kind of finish it off. My first point for this morning is to say that Jesus was raised in a devout, practicing Jewish family, period. And I'm going to say a few things about that. The second thing is that Jesus was very ordinary in every way possible. Very ordinary, like you and me. Without sin, I know, that's what Hebrews says, but just like you and me. And the third thing is that Jesus was extraordinary, unlike you and me. Amazing. And then I'm going to say some things about parenting. Parents, take heart. Take heart. Don't be so hard on yourself. So that's where I'm going to go. Number one, Jesus was raised in a devout, practicing Jewish family. If you look at the gospel for today, it says his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And that's what says it. You might say, no, that really doesn't say a whole lot. But for them, this was important enough to leave Nazareth and trek it to Jerusalem at the expense and the time that it took for them to do that. And this was part of their routine, their annual routine. And most scholars would say, knowing life of the family back in Jesus' day, that families were very participative of the religious rituals and practices and teachings of the faith. Today, I mean, there's a lot of faith teaching that goes on at the home. I get that. But mostly, and there's been a lot of debate about this today, should we continue? Mostly, the training goes on here, doesn't it? The importance of Sunday school teachers, confirmation, Hebrews and Galatians, those groups, the importance of that. But man, parents, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, kudos to you, because it's not easy, not easy, raising someone in the faith. And as sometimes I think we face, me too, I'm a father, I'm a grandfather, we face more frustration than we do with success. That's the way it is. A guy in the office that I work with, when it comes to another context, always says, well, you can put the hay in front of the horse, but if the horse isn't going to eat it, no. And I think that probably applies here. But this is really kind of a good story. Mary and Joseph, for them, training, talking, learning, reading, memorizing by rote, Those stories of our Old Testament were just part of life. They lived it. And rather than feeling like it is an education center at home, they simply lived their faith. Please, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, just show your faith. Just show it. Let that be a witness. Okay? If you can't get them to list those Ten Commandments in a row, oh well. That's why Jesus said there's only two. Love God and love your neighbor. Made it simple. You know, but you can't get that. Don't sweat it. Just live your faith. Witness your love, your passion for following Christ. For Mary and Joseph, what was in their house, how they raised Jesus, well, they raised him in the love of God. They wanted Jesus to know the stories of Abraham and Sarah, of Moses and his wife, of the wanderings of Israel, the judges, the kings, all of them, and all the prophets. They wanted Jesus to know the division that happened in the kingdom and how Israel fell, and then Judah fell, and came the prophets, the four major prophets, the 12 minor prophets, and all those words, Jesus read them, knew them. It was just part of his character, part of him. And you might say, now wait a minute, didn't Jesus write those things? And you would be right. He was very much involved as God's word in all of that history. But as a man on his man side, the human side of him, he was learning this fresh. It was like a clean slate when he was born, although he always, always, always had that intellect and ability. But as the book of Philippians says, he emptied himself, taking the form of man. He emptied himself of that divine part, put it aside, and from time to time would draw on it, but he put it aside. So he was very much in a learning mode as a young boy, learning from Mary and Joseph. So he was raised in a very devout, practicing Jewish family, clearly. Jesus also was very ordinary. And the ordinary part for me in this story comes out in a few phrases, but the first one would be, when they left Jerusalem, Jesus was gone. He was lost. Jesus was lost to himself? Yeah, I think he really got lost. I think he got confused. I do. But Mary and Joseph, well, it was an oversight. I mean, let's face it, there was a big crowd, and relatives were there from Nazareth, and there were all kinds of friends and neighbors. They were all traveling together, and they just assumed that Jesus was with them. You know, that's how it worked. They traveled that way, and when a couple days later came, they looked for him, and he wasn't found. Imagine their panic. What can be more ordinary, what can be more human than getting lost? Or losing yourself. You ever lost? You ever lose yourself? I have to laugh because it happens to me more and more as days go by. We lost our son in a store once when he was, what, four, Bev? Was he four? How old was Ben? And Mary says, when she found Jesus, she says, didn't you know that we were in great distress? Oh, that's a nice word. Distress. Oh, child, I'm distressed. Holy cow! And where was our Ben? Well, he was absorbed watching video games in the lobby of the store. Well, we were panicking, combing through the store, trying to find this four-year-old who had legs that would go everywhere. You know, that's how he was. That's how he is. Still at 32. Single, housebroken, anybody looking for a nice guy. But that's, you know, Jesus was ordinary, and Mary and Joseph were ordinary people. And Jesus, he lived within in the fabric of life, just as you and I do. He had friends, probably lost memory once in a while, lost things along the way. That's just the way it is. Again, God in the flesh, thoroughly God, as Paul says, God was visibly, bodily in the form of Jesus completely. That's what Paul says. He was completely in this child, and yet he's a child. He's a kid. He's a human person. Understanding, learning, experiencing everything you and I do, even when we get lost. So he was ordinary. But Jesus also was extraordinary. And that's what we're talking about, right? That's what we like to celebrate a whole lot in the church. This is God. Light of light. God from God. Very God from very God, right? All of this. Good stuff. Big stuff. And that's what he truly was. So, where do I find that in the story? Well, I find it after Mary and Joseph search for the boy for 3 days. Hello, 3 days. Does that suggest anything to you? What's coming? They search for the boy for 3 days, and they found the boy where? In his house. This is his house. The temple. The temple that was built by Solomon, the first reading for today, he's the one who built the temple, was destroyed and was rebuilt again much, much later. But here's the temple, the focus of the cultists of the Hebrew religion. It was everything. It must have been a sensational place to view. Just to view it. It must have been amazing. Covered as it was with gold. Imagine how that thing would shine. Just that alone. But the history and all that. There he was. And he's there. He's asking questions. Notice the human. Asking a lot of questions. But it says the teachers, these bearded, old, wise men, sorry, it was a man thing, sorry, but that's what it was, were astonished with this young boy because he was showing incredible insight and not so much wisdom, although there was a lot of wisdom, but just a lot of understanding. He gets it. And he can ask those questions because why? Hello, he's God. And it was kind of coming out at that moment. It's maybe he was discovering this wonderful side to him that he also knew, but as a human he didn't know. And all of this kind of going back and forth in him, he was an extraordinary child. He was. You know, never mind the visit of the wise men tomorrow that we celebrate. Never mind the angels singing of his birth and, you know, over the Bethlehem Judean countryside. Never mind the shepherds visiting. Never mind all of that that happened. Here it was. Here it is. Right here and there, this child, God in human form. Well, you know the rest of the story. You know, why were you looking for me? He said, I have to be in my father's house. And it's interesting, and this is an aside, in Luke's gospel, these are the first words of Jesus. The first spoken words of Jesus. It's different in other gospels, but in this one, it's all about the temple. It's all about him. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. Right? It's all about the temple, about him identifying with the temple because of the religion, because he was Jewish, yeah, but because of God's revelation through the Jewish faith to Jesus now, to all of us in the Christian faith. Just amazing things. So, what does it say? Well, to me it says that Jesus is off to a really good start. Just like a new year, right? But Jesus is off to a really good start. We see at the beginning, we see the God, we see the man in him, we see the Mary, we see the Holy Spirit in him. Now we're beginning to see a few things as his life begins to grow. And we're going to see a whole lot more next week at his baptism when God says, "This is my son, listen to him." You know, we're going to hear those and miracles we're going to see as well, that are identifying Jesus, who he is, as the very Son of God. But here's some good news, I think, for parents, because this is kind of what my little take from this story. And take it for what it's worth, okay? This is kind of a wisher kind of thoughts as I look at this story. Here you got a boy who gets lost, and a mom and dad who flub royally. What kind of parent are you that you would lose your child like such a way? Where is your responsibility? We're going to report you, you know. How dare you? Well, yeah, hello, parents, me. We are the most imperfect creatures on earth. And if you don't know about that, then check out your parenting, because it just isn't the best. Even you do everything you can. You know, you do everything that you've been trained to do. But man, if I can take back a zillion things in my life, I would do that. But here's the thing. In those flubs, in those mistakes, I'd like to believe through it, not because of what we've done, and that's not why we do these things, but through it, God really reveals some wonderful things. And here's a wonderful thing to keep in mind. Now, listen to me, okay? It's going to be startling. It's going to be stunning, upsetting at first, but yeah, listen to me. One of the things that we need to understand is that children are not our possession. We don't own them. We don't own them. We birthed them. We maybe adopted them. We grandparented them, but we don't own them. Any more than Mary and Joseph owned Jesus. I have to be in my Father's house. And boy, was that ever a revelation for Mary and Joseph to be reminded again that this child is an incredibly unique flesh and blood boy who's come to earth, whose father is the very creator of all the universe, whose whole story is every place, and here he is, Jesus. He's my father. Oh, by the way, Mary and Joseph, as it says, this one who has God as his father also has Mary and Joseph to respect. There is a fourth commandment, right? And the child went with them to Nazareth. Critical words. Went with them and learned and grew from mom and dad, and I love the word, was submissive to them. He obeyed them. They taught him. He learned from them. The greatest gift that parents can give to children, I'm convinced, is a structure of faith. And sometimes you feel like you're imposing on a child. You feel like you're ordering it, like you're coercing it. Maybe. I mean, if I didn't tell my sons to brush their teeth, I don't think they would. And, you know, the same goes with our religion and faith. You know, it's a structure. We have values. We have principles. We do. Just check. We have at least 10 that I'm aware of, and there's probably a whole lot more than that, that are part of life. It's who we are. It's how we conduct ourselves in a godly way, in a God-pleasing way in life. And we flub up, yeah. And by the way, so do children. But so do parents. We flub up along the way. But see, it's kind of God's way of putting his hand in all of human life, in our lives. You know, it says in the book of Hebrews that he had to be everything that we are, touching life. And every little molecule, blood vessel, bone, piece of skin, even our minds, our thoughts, imaginations, and all of life. Because of his birth, because of stories like this, man, I can get really philosophical, and I don't want to do that. But because of it, you see, God has filtered into human life in such a way that there is incredible hope and blessing, promise and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. He's not some God who is just concerned about your thoughts and your afterlife. Oh yeah, that too. But he's interested in your very body and what you do with yourself, what you're learning. And through you and instruments like me, such as it is, he's doing something remarkable in life. And he's bringing it to a day when it'll all be new. Heaven and earth will be something unlike we've ever seen before, because he is in Jesus, through Jesus, has gone into us all, and we receive him in body and blood under bread and wine. Amazing. More to be said about that, but that's enough for that. But think about that. So I'm going to close with these words. Now to God, who is able to do incredibly more than all we can ask or conceive by the Holy Spirit at work among us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forevermore. Amen. Let's stand for our confession. We're going to confess our faith that we have together. We'll use the words of the Apostle.